Wait, I have something to tell you. I've been waiting since Sunday to tell you this story, and I thought I wanted to tell you on the podcast. So when I went to get the drink from Maverick, I went up to the register, and the lady that was working, it was kind of late at night, so she was the only employee, and she had this paper out with a Sharpie, and she was writing some sort of sign, and she pulls out her phone, and she goes, "Siri, how do you spell cigarette?" And I go, well, I'm thinking she's standing in front of the entire wall of cigarettes. And then also like on the counter, it says like we ID for tobacco and cigarette purchases. So I pointed at the word cigarette because like her Siri wasn't working and she was like getting kind of frustrated. So I just pointed at the word cigarette on the counter. And you know what she says?
What?
She's like, I can read it okay. I just don't know how to spell it.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, you got a point. I can't help you there.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Thanks for Participating, the show where we force each other to participate in the things we separately enjoy, sometimes try new things together, and hope that sometimes we find common interests along the way. I'm Sid, and this is Josh, and who I thought was going to jump in but didn't.
I was just waiting for you to finish reading what was on the prompt.
You wrote that on purpose, didn't you?
Well, because last time you said that you had to read exactly what I was written, because what's written is it says, I'm Josh / Sid and blah, blah. And last time you said, I'm Josh, instead of obviously changing it to I'm Sid. So I filled in the teleprompter for you, and I was just waiting for you to finish reading it exactly as written.
Well, sorry to disappoint.
Okay, let's restart.
Do you really want to restart?
I just want you to read it.
Welcome back to Thanks for Participating, the show where we force each other to participate in all things we separately enjoy, sometimes try new things together, and hope that we find common interests along the way. I'm Josh / Sid, and blah blah poopy doopy. I'm a turd, and my name is Sydney the Stinky Turd. How's that?
That was more perfect than I could have ever hoped for.
Okay.
And I'm Josh, the other host of this podcast.
The other stinky turd.
You probably can't hear, hopefully if we've done things right, and you can't tell by the audio, but Sydney and I are about 50 miles apart from one another.
Yes, sir. Sorry, that was yawning. Yes, sir.
Do you want to talk at all about your exciting new adventure?
I've started an internship. And I'm working on a client that is more than 50 miles away from our apartment. And I don't want to have to drive 2 hours in rush hour traffic. So I'm staying with my parents for a couple weeks.
Yep. It was a good 3.5 years run into the marriage thing. But I am back to being a lone wolf.
Yeah, I mean, this week, I've mostly just been going to the downtown office, which is like 15 minutes from my parents' house. And I will say I have a lot more energy when I don't have to be in a car for 2 hours a day. Sorry, Josh. I love you, but I am enjoying the shorter commute for sure.
We did meet up yesterday for a hockey game. That was really fun.
Yeah, that was your first ever hockey game, right? We should do an episode on that.
We should do an episode on hockey? Because you've been to one hockey game, right?
Yeah. Okay. And remember nothing about it.
Okay. Yeah, we should. That would be kind of fun if we both went to more of the Utah Grizzlies games and tried to figure out what the rules are.
Yeah, we'll go, we'll take notes, and then we'll come back and report what the rules of hockey are.
There were so many things that happened during the game. Like, people were smacking each other in the back with their hockey sticks or, like, throwing punches, and there were no fouls called. Like, I watch a lot of basketball. If you, like, even halfway throw a punch, you immediately get called for a technical, possible flagrant foul and could get ejected. Like, even if you pass the ball in what could possibly be deemed an aggressive manner to the ref in order to, like, inbound the ball, the ref might call you for a technical. Or, like, umps in baseball. They have, like, their egos hurt, right?
Right.
And they'll eject you from the stadium for sassing them. But there were so many things that happened at the hockey game where people were putting each other in headlocks and there were no penalties called. It wasn't until the last period of the game where they finally sent someone to the penalty box, the little timeout square.
Yeah. I will say that is, I don't watch very much hockey, but that is the one thing that I do enjoy about hockey is the violence.
Yeah. You...
keeps things lively.
You definitely more so than me are a fan of violence.
That makes it sound bad.
I'm just saying, if either of us were to end up arrested for violence, it would definitely be more likely to be you.
Probably, yeah. I think I'm a little feistier.
All right. Any other anecdotal stories you want to talk about before we jump into the episode?
I just need to memorialize real quick that I've won both of my office GeoGuessers today. That's all.
And you were, what, 20, only 20 miles away?
22 combined miles for the whole game away from all five locations.
Nice. Proud of you.
And it was world, it was like world scope too. So it wasn't like I was just doing like the city of Salt Lake or something. Like, I think 22 is impressive and you should be impressed. And yeah, that's all.
I am impressed.
All right, Josh.
You should be impressed that I've beaten all of the Mario Kart Grand Prix cups on each different speed to 3 stars.
So I am very impressed. That's what I always knew you could do it.
That's what I did over the weekend because I was dog sitting. And so I hung out with Smokey Bear, my favorite dog. And he laid on my lap and I played Mario Kart and Tears of the Kingdom.
He's a good dog.
While I cried about being a single guy.
Well, Josh, should we jump into today's topic?
Let's do it.
All right. Today we are talking about the next installment in our Taylor Swift series, Speak Now. Josh, what are your initial thoughts on hearing the album?
Okay. I told you when, because we were originally planning on recording this on Sunday, but then we had to postpone. And then we met up yesterday for the hockey game and you were asking my thoughts on the album, because I told you that I've basically been listening to this album nonstop so that I could be more prepared to share my thoughts on this than I was when we did Fearless. And you asked me for my thoughts yesterday, and I told you that I couldn't tell you, that we had to wait for the podcast. So now I am definitely ready to tell you. This, as a whole, I have enjoyed much, much more than either of the other two. And that's not to say that, that's not to say that I didn't like her first album or I didn't like Fearless, but like as a whole, there were maybe like a third or half of the songs on either of those two albums that were really memorable or that I could vibe to, and the rest were kind of not memorable. Like, if you remember when we were talking about Fearless, I was like looking at the track list and I couldn't, like, just based on the song titles, I couldn't remember what most of the songs sounded like, what the choruses were. There were only a couple of them where I'm like, oh, I know what that song is because I remember enjoying it. This one, I only listened to it like once or twice through, and then I went back and looked at the track list, and I knew, like, I could see the title and it instantly popped in, like, the hook of the song or the chorus. There's only two songs that are hard for me even now to remember, but the rest of it is just super memorable.
Yeah, I will say, like, this was, I think Fearless was like the one that I like really grew up with and listened to a lot, but I also like grew up with this one, listened to it a lot as well, and would like also try to play the songs on guitar. Like, I specifically remember Haunted. Like, I had this like guitar, this like binder full of like chord printouts that I'd gotten from the internet, and Haunted was like definitely in there.
Nice. I've even like since the weekend, like I've played it kind of on repeat just so I can, and I feel prepared to talk about it. But like this time, unlike with the other two albums, I've caught myself singing the songs in the shower, humming them like as I'm driving, or as I'm listening to it, I'll like be singing along and I'll realize, oh, I didn't even realize that I knew the words to this part of the song. Or like with Dear John, like I know the words, like the whole like first verse, and I've only listened to it like starting like last week, which is just crazy that that didn't happen with like any of the new songs for Fearless or,
okay,
or her debut.
That is because I do play Dear John a lot at home, and I've also played it on the guitar and like sung it. I don't know if you remember that or anything, but that's one of the ones that like I can just listen to and like figure out like very easily by like passively listening to it, because it's a very easy chord progression.
I just feel like, okay, so this is another thing that I wanted to talk about. In the past, early in our relationship, when you would show me songs, I would try my best to be supportive, but it was really difficult for me. especially some of those early Taylor Swift songs, which are like Dear John, like one where it's like kind of slower, more like ballady. I mean, Dear John's not super ballady, but you know what I'm talking about? Or like Indigo Girls type stuff, where it's like right. more lyrically driven than it is like rhythmically driven.
Which is what I prefer, but I know you're the opposite.
Yeah. So like I would try to like do my best to like take in that music when you would show it to me, but it'd be hard. And I would end up like tuning out the music because it would just make me like anxious. And I even remember telling you one of the first times that you showed me Indigo Girls. I was like, this sounds like the kind of music that makes me want to turn music off. And but now when I was listening to Speak Now, I was like, wow, there's so many songs on here that just give me the same vibe as a lot of those Indigo Girls songs that you showed me early in our relationship. But I don't get that feeling. Like, I am enjoying these songs in a way that I didn't think I would have 3 years ago.
Do you think you're changing, or do you think it's just the songs are hitting different?
I would like to hope that it's because I'm changing, but I think the way that we can test that is if we come back and we also listen to Indigo Girls music and see if I still get if I can now listen to those same songs. So,
okay, side note, I got my mom to play Wordle and she's texting me right now. Like, I got it in 3 tries.
That's cute.
I don't know if she's playing the official New York Times one though, because she says she got 200 coins in Wordle. I don't know. She's probably just playing like some phone game that was like.
Yeah, looked up Wordle in the app store.
Yeah.
And then like downloaded the first off-brand sponsored suggestion.
Yeah, I know. I've been trying to get her to play it though, because I think she would like it and have fun with it. She likes kind of those like games. Like, I know her and my grandpa, when they were younger, they would do those like competitions where they give you like a word with like a lot of letters in it, and then you'd have to try to make as many words with those letters as you can.
Mm-hmm.
They'd like sit down and do those together and stuff.
Okay, back to the music.
Yes, sorry for the sidetrack. I just thought that was cute that my mom's playing Wordle.
I wonder if it's because in like the more immediate recent years, I've made such an effort to listen to new songs in preparation for the podcast, or like the Hella Megator concert that we went to, where I listened to a bunch of Green Day and Weezer and Fall Out Boy for the first time. If it's like a skill that I'm building up at taking in new music, like, because several years ago, I could only take in like the rhythm, like just like the overall vibe of a song. And I wouldn't even really be able to like have the ear memory to hum back the melody after the song was over. Maybe if it was a super like melodically driven piece, then I could like with a very simple, catchy hook, I could like remember the melody. But it would take a lot just to kind of learn how the song sounded like. And then only after that could then I start paying attention to, okay, what are the words? But now I feel like that might be a skill. I don't know. I might be talking out of my ass here, but like, it just feels like it's a skill that I'm like getting stronger at, where I can listen to a song for the first time and I can pick out, like almost compartmentalize like the different inputs, and I can pick up a lot of what the lyrics are, and I can pick out a lot of what the melodies or even the harmonies are. Like, I was listening to like Taylor's version specifically, and I feel like the mix is a little bit different on some of the pieces where like her, like she has like a male vocal harmony like underlying, and I feel like I could pick out that a lot more than I could like if I had been listening to this a couple years ago.
Oh, listening is definitely a skill when it comes to music. I mean, they, like, when I was still a music major, I would, like, take classes on it. So it's definitely something that you acquire. And now that you are, like, now that I'm I feel like, I don't want to take all the credit for it, but, like, I feel like, you know, I've been pointing things out to you. You've been exposed to new things, and you're starting to, like, develop those skills and pick up on things, which is exciting for me because I want you to enjoy music on the level that I do.
So just as a whole, I feel like I'm getting better at listening to the music. But with regards to Speak Now compared to her previous two albums, I feel like I can notice her, like Taylor Swift, growing as a songwriter and a musician. And I mean, this is basically speculation because I wasn't there during her songwriting process. But a lot of times, if you're like a relatively inexperienced songwriter, if you first compose lyrics and then after you have like the words to a song, you try to then come up with the melody, you might end up just shoehorning a bunch of words into a song that doesn't really have a memorable melodic like heartline. And you'll end up with a piece that's difficult for you to sing and it's difficult for listeners to remember. Now, I don't want to necessarily say that that's how Taylor Swift wrote all of her songs in the first two albums, but I feel like there was enough of like not memorable pieces for me where I wouldn't be surprised if she was trying to take lyrics that already existed and then just trying to like create music to fit those lyrics. Whereas for Speak Now, it would make sense to me if it was at least partly the other way around, where she had melodic lines that she then tried to adapt lyrics into.
Okay, time out for a second because our Zoom call has less than a minute left. Let's try leaving and then coming back to the same link. And if that doesn't work, I'll send out another link.
Okay.
And then we can resume.
Make sure you don't hit stop on your Audacity recording.
Okay, yeah, definitely won't.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, cool. Looks like we're back. Oh.
Okay, wait, I can't see you. Can you see me?
Okay, now we should be back.
Yeah, I can see you. Can you hear me? See me okay?
Yeah. Anyways, back to Taylor Swift.
Okay.
So this was her last country album officially, but it doesn't feel very country.
Yeah.
I think the first couple of albums, she, like, there's definitely that country twang, and like the first album, the debut for sure. And then Fearless, they moved away from it a little bit, but you could still hear like the steel guitars and the crooning and stuff like that. It was still like very country. And this one just doesn't even feel country at all.
Yeah, there's definitely, it's definitely leaning more in like the country pop direction. Only like, is it, I think Dear John is the only one that like the instrumentation even feels like super, super country. Is it Dear John that still has the steel guitar where it's like, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, okay. I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm pretty sure that's steel guitar.
Gotcha. Okay, sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh no, that's really what I wanted to say. It was like officially country. Yeah, I remember like when she made that shift to pop, like everyone was up in arms, and even I was kind of up in arms about it a little bit. Like I was like, well, she's going to be pop. I don't want to listen to her, because I was in my I hate pop phase, which we've talked about. I didn't hate pop. I just hated 2010s pop. But I think...
You hated corporate like, pop.
Yes. I think she's already kind of there with this album, like, yeah. Honestly.
Mm-hmm. Especially, and I mean, we'll get into this, I'm sure, later, but Taylor's version, all of the vault tracks are way pop. Like, I was shocked. Like, I can't imagine what it would feel like, because this came out in 2010 and the Taylor's version came out in 2013. So if you had been listening to Speak Now for 13 years and then she releases Taylor's version and you're like, oh my goodness, there's 8 brand new tracks from this era of Taylor Swift's music. I don't feel like any of them fit the vibe of, I mean, maybe. I didn't. So that's one thing, is like, I've listened to Taylor's version a bunch, but I definitely listened to just the first like main tracks the most. And I've only listened to the vault tracks a few times, and none of those were super memorable to me. Like, I don't know if I could tell you what the melody is to any of those. There were a couple where I felt I feel like there was at least one or two where I was like, okay, this feels like a song that's already on this album, but you're just changing the words. Like, there was one of them where I'm like, okay, this is literally just the chord progression to Long Live with like the same like beat, but then just a completely different verse.
Yeah, and that's probably why it was a vault track and not an album track.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to say I was most excited for these vault tracks out of all of the re-releases, especially once I found out that like Fall Out Boy and Hayley Williams would be on there. But I thought these were like the worst vault tracks. And I say worst, like, I don't think they were like bad per se, just kind of forgettable. The only one that I saved to my playlist was I Can See You. I actually do really like that one. But the rest of them were just kind of a letdown for me. And speaking of Taylor's version, I think this is the one, like I mentioned on Fearless, that I didn't really hear that much of a difference between the two. And I mean, there's definitely a difference there, but this was the one where I really felt the difference. And I think she played a lot more with the mix on this album than she did on Fearless. And so this one like feels the most different to me. And it's the hardest to listen to Taylor's version for this one, because I think I really do prefer the original emotional.
That's so interesting to me because this one, I specifically, so I even listened to mine and then immediately after I listened to mine, Taylor's version, then I listened to Sparks Fly, then I listened to Sparks Fly. So I did it like staggered instead of listening to like the album all the way through, then Taylor's version all the way through. I listened to like back and forth. And it was hard for me listening to one song and then the Taylor's version right after to pick up on differences. I was shocked how well she was able to mimic the instrumentation down to like being identical and just like the feel. For me, like the main difference was, oh, I can tell that she is way older. Like she just has a more like richer, mature like sound. The timbre to her voice is a little bit different. But like other than that, it was just a couple little differences that like the mix for like the harmony like was a little bit different. But to me, I was shocked at how well she was able to capture the essence of the songs in the original.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I think I just feel like a lack of emotional connection in this one. And I wonder if they had both come out at the same time and I hadn't spent 13 years loving the original, if I would feel differently about Taylor's version.
Yeah, but I'm sure.
We'll never know.
Okay.
Okay, let's jump into the tracks.
Okay.
What was your favorite on here?
Okay, I have a couple different answers. The one that's that I feel like I kind of have like a lot of like interesting things to say is Haunted, which I'm glad that you like brought up as one of the ones that you like had the music for learning growing up. This one, it's just, it feels so much different than a lot of the other things, probably because it's like minor and like it feels a little, it's got kind of like a rock guitar in the instrumentation.
The instrumentation on the violins, too, is really cool.
Yeah, the strings, the dun 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 dun. It's so cool. But also, like, mainly in the chorus, I love, like, I guess it's like juxtaposition, I guess, where it like has the ascending seconds and then like right after it has the descending minor thirds and the minor sixth. Like the come on, come on, those seconds. Mm. Don't leave me like then this I thought I had, like that minor third to the sixth. I don't know mm-hmm. why, but that like just like tickles me so much. When those intervals happen, I'm like, hell yeah, Taylor, like I am here with you. Like, like I sing that in the shower. I sing that like when I'm driving, like that song more than like any of the other songs on this album. When it's playing, I feel like, yes, like I'm vibing, like I'm ready to like rock. Maybe because that's kind of my favorite genre of music is classic soft rock. And this just feels a lot similar to that, where it's like, it's the kind of music that makes me want to like move my body.
Yeah.
What about you?
This is kind of a tough one for me because, like I said, this is an album that I grew up with, and there's so many tracks on here that I love for different reasons. Okay, I would have to say I have two, depending on my mood. If I'm in more of like an upbeat mood, it's The Story of Us. But if I am feeling kind of sad and like melancholy, then it's Dear John.
Yeah, I feel you. If I'm in a sad and melancholy mood, I do not want to listen to music, period. I just want to be left alone. I want to sit in the dark and I don't want music to beat me over the head with my own sadness. But to each their own.
I like to be beat over the head with my own sadness. So
sometimes you just got to cry it out. And sometimes music can be your guided crying meditation, like those guided sleep meditations. But it's like, anyway.
I have been known to sing and cry just to get my feelings out. Like one time I was really upset and I was driving from our apartment to my parents' house. And the whole time I was scream singing and crying along to Cowboy Take Me Away by the Dixie Chicks. So,
yeah.
Or the Chicks. So,
well, what about, say more about The Story of Us?
Did you pick up on the lyric change on that one?
No.
Oh, wait, no, that's better than Revenge. Never mind. We can talk about that.
Okay, I remember you pointed that out a while ago and I forgot to listen for it. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But I want to talk a little bit more about The Story of Us, just because this is a song that when I was listening to it recently, this is a song that I'm like, this song makes me excited to go on road trips again with Sid. We haven't gone on a road trip in a while because we haven't had a car with AC.
But we do now.
Yes. And we have lots of plans to go places in the summer. But I'm like, this song is one of those that I'm excited to put on a playlist and then just scream as we're driving down the highway together. Like,
yeah.
This is just a song that I want to like listen to specifically with you and then just like jam out with you.
This is a great like singing in the car kind of song.
Yeah.
Back to the songwriting of it all, though. I think the extended metaphor through the song that she uses of like a story and a book and stuff, it's so good.
It's literally the story of us. And then after the first chorus, it's next chapter. And
yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty, pretty witty.
Yeah. I really like it. I mean, that's a song that I've vibed to for a while. So. I think there was a period of time where I like stopped listening to Taylor Swift just because I don't know why. I just wasn't vibing with it. And then I think a couple years ago, well, probably more like 5 years ago, I started getting back into it again. And like Story of Us was one of the ones that I was like, oh yeah, this is great. Like, why haven't I listened to her in a while? That like really got me like back into listening to Taylor Swift again.
There's a song on this album that I feel like would have been my anthem as a 12-year-old if I had heard it.
Is it Mean?
It is Mean.
I knew it.
Which I actually looked this up because it feels like this song was written about an abusive, manipulative romantic partner, but it's actually about like her producer, right? Or like or like a record like person.
My impression of it was, or my thought was always that it was just about people that said stuff about her music, because even back before she made the switch to pop, people were like, oh, Taylor Swift's not very good, and they were like, you know, she was kind of like the uncool person to listen to, and that's what I thought it was about, was just her haters, basically.
Gotcha.
But I could be wrong, because there is another song, we're going to play a game later of who the song is about, and there is one of the songs that I thought it was one person, and then I looked it up just to be sure, and I was actually wrong, so...
Okay. I don't know how accurate this is, but like when I was looking at, because I also wanted to be prepared for the music. So I went and I made like a Word document where I just copy and pasted the lyrics, just like the hook. So like, I'd be like, oh, if I wanted this song, I would see the hook or the chorus. And I'd be like, okay, I'm right with it. And when I did that for Mean, it pulled up this thing that said like, oh, Taylor Swift is known for writing songs about her exes, but this one is actually not about an ex. It says... She's never confirmed who Mean is about, but it is believed that she wrote it about longtime music critic and analyst Bob Lefsetz, L-E-F-S-E-T-Z. During the 52nd Grammys, Taylor joined Fleetwood Mac legend Stevie Nicks on stage for a mashup of her song, Rhiannon?
Yeah.
Okay. And Taylor's You Belong With Me, but the performance was a bust, and Taylor was noticeably off-key, and the critics were not easy on her. And in his popular newsletter, The Lefsetz Letter, Bob slammed the then 20-year-old. He wrote that Taylor's performance was dreadful. Now everyone knows that Taylor Swift can't sing, which is one of the lyrics. Saying yeah. That, like, she can't sing.
Talking all about how I can't sing. That one she does kind of have a little bit of a country twang on.
He asked, did Taylor Swift kill her career overnight? I'll argue she did. In one fell swoop, Taylor Swift consigned herself to the dustbin of teen phenoms.
Joke's on him.
And so that makes sense that it's, you know, that would have crushed young Taylor Swift. And so like, that's what
she's like 20 with adult men writing stuff like that about her.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I feel like the lyrics to Mean are very relatable, but for a different reason, like, without like not going into too much detail, but like,
yeah,
you with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You've knocked me off my feet again. Got me feeling like I'm nothing. You with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You picking on the weaker man. you with your switching sides and your wildfire lies and your humiliation. You've pointed out my flaws again as if I don't already see them. With my head down trying to block you out because I'll never impress you. I just want to feel okay again. Like, this is literally how I felt every single day as a 12-year-old. And if I, and then like the chorus just like is so hopeful, like so optimistic. And it, like that would have been, if I would have been able to sing that like as a 12-year-old, I wish I would have been able to hear this.
What you don't know, someday I'll be living in a big old city, and all you're ever gonna be is mean. Someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me, and all you're ever gonna be is mean. Why you gotta be so mean?
Someday I'll be living in a big old city and all you're ever going to be is mean. Someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me and all you're ever going to be is mean. Like, that's literally all I hoped for, was that someday all this will be behind me because I'll be big enough that you won't be able to get to me. And
yeah,
and I'm now, now I'm there, but
yeah, I'm not going to lie. Like, that song definitely, I mean, I listened to it a lot as like a 13-year-old or however old I was when this like came out, but this song definitely changed meaning a lot and became a lot less lighthearted for me once we got married and I kind of got to know your backstory a little bit more. I definitely think about you every time I listen to it.
And it's kind of interesting because it's like you wouldn't expect a song called, a song where like the hook is why you gotta be so mean, all you are is mean. Like, that sounds like the best insult a kindergartner could come up with. Like, well, you're just like a meanie head, right?
Right.
Like, it feels so childlike, but I feel like because of that, it's so potent that like you don't really have to craft a backstabbing insult. Like, it's just so matter of the fact that like that is mean. But then like the, like all of the rest of the verse talks about how like just being mean, like all of the impacts that it has on her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel, it feels so like, feels so childish of a concept for a song, but I just feel like it's so potent and like so mature counterintuitively.
Right. I think, you know, it's interesting because I've always said that I'm like a lyrical listener to songs and you've always just been like, well, I, you know, love vibing with the beat, but I never listen to the lyrics. But like, this is a big reason why I like listening to the lyrics, because like they can just touch you and like resonate with you and in ways. And even if the author or even if the songwriter didn't intend for it to be written about your situation, like it's a completely different thing from your situation, but that Taylor wrote it about, but it still is like super applicable to you and like, you know, would have been your 12-year-old anthem or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another song that I vibe with. And I've like, for Haunted, it's like I vibe with this because it just like musically is so groovy for me.
Yeah.
And then Mean, I vibe with it because it brings out my inner child. Like, oh man, it just is so, what's the, like, closure, like it brings closure to as I listen to it in a way that just like makes me feel really good about myself.
Good. Well, let's talk Better Than Revenge and the lyrics change in that. Because did you pick up on that one at all?
So I know.
I don't think you did, right?
So I think I remember you telling me this before, but I don't know what the change is. Is it the, she's not a saint, she's not what you think, she's an actress, she's better known for the things she does on the mattress?
Yes, it is. Because people thought it was misogynistic, and it is definitely like slut shaming for sure. I don't know. I grew up with the original lyrics. I don't really have a problem with it, but I don't know.
So
I don't mind. The change is... he was a moth to the flame, she was holding the matches.
Oh.
Which also I think is very, like, are very clever lyrics. I don't think it fits as well in the space. Kind of what you were saying about how, like, you're trying to, like, shove lyrics in that, like, fit and rhyme and, like, you know, fit the theme and whatever. And so it does feel a little shoehorned in there to me. But I do think like the imagery of it and the thought of like the moth to the flame is very very interesting thought.
Like Regina George-esque.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I mean, the whole song, really, it's about like a guy that like, you know, runs off with another girl. And it's kind of about how the girls like own the guy and kind of like forgets the part where the guy made the choice to, like,
right.
leave, you know? So it's a very, like, juvenile way. I think, you know, when we're young, when we're in high school in, like, our early 20s or whatever, that's kind of how we see it. It's like, oh, she stole him away from me. But, you know, you get older and you're like, well, I never really had him. Like, he made a choice. Like, he wasn't worth fighting over.
Yeah, especially the part where it goes, soon she's going to find stealing other people's toys on the playground. Like, yeah. She's calling this guy a toy on the playground that another girl stole. Like, that's so, that one line makes me be like, okay, Taylor, like, come on.
Yeah, it's very, like, you listen to it and it's like, yeah, this is pretty juvenile. Like, it's definitely not her strongest song, but the vibes are fun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll talk a little bit more because this song is part of my game, so.
Okay. As a whole, wait, what was I thinking? Okay. I did say, like, I did want to know, like, on the, so when we did the other albums, I talked about how many songs, if these were to come up just on Spotify, how many of them, if they came up, I would skip.
Yes.
This one, there's one skip, there's one hard skip, one soft skip, and then one that I might listen to because I like the music, but I don't like the word lyrics. Like, I could vibe to it, but I don't like the lyrics because I disagree with the message. So my hard skip is Last Kiss. It's the least memorable for me, and it's the slower song. The lyrics are not as meaningful to me, and like, yeah, like I can admit it's okay, but like I would never want to listen to this if I'm by myself in the car to vibe. My soft pass is Innocent for the most of the same reasons. It's a little bit more vibey to me than Last Kiss, but not by much. So like, if I was in the right mood, I might listen to it, but probably most of the time I would skip it. And then the kind of question mark skip is Never Grow Up.
You could stay like that. Oh, darling, don't you ever grow up. Don't you ever grow up. Just stay this little. Oh, darling, don't you ever grow up. Don't you ever grow up. It could stay this simple.
Just because, like, this one, I feel like that chorus is very, like, driving, but I have, like, this, like, gut-twisting, like, opposition to the idea of telling someone don't grow up. Just because when I was young, I was made to feel guilty just for growing up and aging. Like, I was told that, like, I was a better person when I was younger. And so just, like, telling someone that, I don't even know, like, what is this song about? Is she writing it about herself? Like, trying to tell herself don't grow up? Or is she, like...
No, I think it was about, like, a younger brother or cousin or something. I can't remember. But it's just like, oh, you're, like, really cute. I love this stage. Like, I'm gonna miss it when you grow up. Kind of in, like, the wistful way that, like, parents are like, oh, I hope they just stay babies forever, you know?
Right. That's okay. That's, I was like, I get the feeling that this is about a younger relative. And, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I just, like, I get in a way that it's, like, cute and, like, could be, like, charming to tell someone, like, oh, like, I really like how, like, young and, like, innocent you are. I wish you could stay this way forever. But, like, I just have such a, like, aversion to that, that it's, like, almost disgusting to me to tell, like, for me, I much more resonate with the song Think About Things by, how do you say his name? Dottie Freyr.
Yeah, something like that.
and he's Scandinavian. Is he Finnish or is he? I think he's
Icelandic.
Icelandic? Okay.
What do you think about things? Believe it, I will always be there, so you can tell me anything and I'll listen.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's writing this song about, like, this either unborn baby or, like, newborn baby, his child, saying how he can't wait for them to get older so that they can just, like, talk. And it's like, I can't wait to know what you think about things. Like, I love you so much, but you don't even know how to speak yet. And so, like, I can't wait to know what you think about things and what you have to say to,
like,
me.
Yeah, like, what kind of person you are. Like, yeah. I can't wait to get to know you, basically.
And
like,
I can't wait to see.
It's cute.
Yeah, like, for me, we don't have children yet, but, like, and maybe my entire outlook will change when we have little ones around, but I don't see myself clinging on to, like, them as like young, I feel like I'm would be much more inclined to be excited for them to grow, to be excited to see the things that they accomplish, to be excited to see what kind of things I can share with them as they like go on their life journey and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I think like my parents always talk about how they loved the phases that we were in, but then like they would grow to love the next phases that we were into. And I think that's kind of the way it's going to be. Like, you know, we'll have like babies and we'll be like, oh, love the baby stage. And then they'll move on to toddlers and we'll miss things about the baby stage, but we'll find things about the toddler stage that we love. And, you know, I think that's just kind of like the way it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. My skips. I think I have a lot more skips than you.
I did not expect that. I definitely expect to have more skips than you on every single album. So,
okay. I Never Grow Up is just a skip to me. I think it's kind of boring. Same with Innocent. Last Kiss, I'll like sometimes skip. Sometimes I'll listen to it. And then like Ours and Superman, I'm not going to lie, I forgot those songs existed.
Oh, so, I didn't even think about the Taylor's version. Honestly.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm looking at the Taylor's version of it all. And then mine, that is, I wouldn't say it's a skip in the fact that I don't like it. I do like it. The problem is that was like way overplayed on the radio. And then I would play it to death in my own room on my little CD player.
Gotcha.
And so I just got so sick of the song because I got sick of it. And then it was still played to death on the radio that like even to this day, I still have a hard time listening to it. Kind of like, you know, the Romeo and Juliet song from Fearless. So, So I don't think I'd ever leave it on the rate if I were listening by myself. But like when we listen together, I listen to it and I enjoy the song. So that's like kind of a half skip for me.
I keep forgetting about the vault tracks. And so I think I'm going to try listening to the vault tracks a couple more times before I go back and edit this episode and then insert here, see if I have anything to say about it, if I would listen to any of them, if most of them would. I assume probably most of them would be skips. Hey there. Hello. This is Editing Josh from the future. Woo. Sorry for the interruption, although not too sorry because me from the past did kind of announce that this interruption was going to happen. But I am here to provide additional thoughts and review of the vault tracks on Speak Now Taylor's version that I didn't have a chance to talk in the regulation episode. Okay, the first track, Hours, is a plain and simple skip for me, nothing fancy. Moving on to Superman, this one is great. Very fun and energetic instrumentation and a cute comic book analogy. Initially, I thought the song was about a young child missing their dad as he goes off to work, which in the eyes of a child could very well be to save the world. But then I got to the second verse, which says, quote, tall, dark, and beautiful. He's complicated. He's irrational. But I hope someday he'll take me away. This makes it much more clear that it's about a desired romantic partner or possibly ex-partner. However, it could also be the case that Taylor specifically engineered this song to have multiple possible interpretations. I googled this song and found some pretty convincing evidence that it's about John Mayer. In particular, the evidence in mind is his song 83 from 2001, which has the lyrics, quote, and these days I wish I was six again. Oh, make me a red cape. I wanna be Superman. So it seems clear that this could be alluding to John Mayer, who is known to have been a part of her life while this album was being written. Whatever the case, this song is pretty fire, and I'm glad it's available on Taylor's version. Moving on, Electric Touch. This one, I'll just start with a quote from the lyrics. Got a feeling your electric touch could fill this ghost town up with life, end quote. Honestly, this song has the emotional energy of a ghost town to me. The electric touch that could bring this song to life is actually an invisible touch. This song just makes me want to listen to Genesis instead. I'm not If it was up to me, I would have kept this one in the vault. Skip. Moving on. When Emma Falls in Love. I mentioned in a previous Taylor Swift episode that I'm a sucker for songs with solo voice over only piano. The beginning of this song makes me excited, especially as the guitar subtly enters partway through the first verse.
When Emma falls in love, she calls up her mom, jokes about the ways that this one could go wrong.
And then the drums kick in right before the chorus, and I'm ready for something awesome, but the chorus just drips out of the speakers like a lackluster afterthought.
We'll never be the same. She's the kind of girl that you can't put down. Like if Cleopatra grew up in a small town.
Nothing exciting or memorable about it, making the cool buildup in the verse a total waste of time. Skip. Moving on. I Can See You. This song is giving too comfortable with mediocrity. It's a decent enough song, but my problem with it is that it doesn't fit musically, thematically, emotionally, whatever, with the rest of the album. If I wanted to listen to Speak Now, Taylor's version, all the way through, I wouldn't lose any tears over the decision to skip this song. However, if this song came up in a random shuffle, I wouldn't necessarily be in a hurry to find the skip button. Next, Castles Crumbling. Okay. The correct way to listen to this song is on YouTube so that you can turn the playback speed to 1.5x, and you can't convince me otherwise.
I had an empire in a golden age.
If I don't have that option readily available, it's a skip from me, dog. Okay, foolish one. I rock with this one, but I don't have really anything interesting to say about it. This is one I'm simply excited to revisit upon further listens. Finally, Timeless. This song probably would have been a skip on any other day, but in preparing for this recording, I pulled up the lyrics to the songs and read them as I listened. I'm not usually a fan of ballads, but when the lyrics feel like they're telling a story, it's much easier to read them rather than to listen to them.
Down the block, there's an antique shop, and something in my head said stop. So I walked in. On the counter was a cardboard box, and the sign said photos, 25 cents each.
I'm guessing if I read the lyrics to Timeless by Taylor Swift while listening to the song enough times that I memorized them, it would then rightfully earn its spot in the don't skip classification. But that's a lot of work that I'm not itching to do, but if Sid has the aux cord and decides to play this song, I will be Googling the lyrics and vibing hard. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, vault tracks are all skips for me except for I Can See You. I like that one a lot.
Okay. Also, like, I think, like, when I was listening to this, I was like, okay, I see why a lot of these songs didn't come out with the original album because they're just not as strong and they also don't fit, like, aesthetically with the vibes right. of the other pieces. But I also just don't like how when she came out with Taylor's version, they're just kind of an afterthought at the end. I would have liked it better if she had tried to fit it in, like sprinkled in the thing instead of just like all in one clump after all of the pieces, like unless you're like listening to it on shuffle or something. Because I think that Long Live is such a good album closer song.
Yeah.
I think it's like if you were to perform the album in concert, beginning to end, Long Live is a perfect final piece. I love it so much.
That song was written as a love letter to her fans, too.
Really?
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Long Live! Be remembered.
I only have one complaint about Long Live, and it's the fact that the entire song, I'm waiting for the opt up, and it only happens once. Do you know what I mean? Like she goes, long live, da-da-da-da-da, and then I had the time of my life. I'm waiting for that, like, kind of bum-bum. At like when the chorus like comes in, like long live dun 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 dun. I'm waiting for something like that. And it only happens right at the end of the song where she goes, I was screaming like long, long live. And then the kingdom lights shine. I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's
long,
like
how I was screaming, long live all the magic we made at the time of my life. Fighting dragons. Yeah.
Just like right there at the last chorus. I wish that, because I feel like that's a little more melodically like powerful, like driving that home. And I was just waiting for that, and it only happens once, and like the final like reprise of the chorus. And so, but other than that, I think that it's just like I would love to see her perform that live. That's just a piece where I'm like, this would make me like feel all of the emotions in a stadium full of people singing this song. Like,
sure.
So the fact that like in Taylor's version you have Long Live and then you have 8 more mid songs just feels like such a disruption.
I think this one more than others, they just felt like the discard pile.
Yeah.
Like there's some albums that I think have really good vault tracks. This is not one of them. I think they were the weakest.
All right.
Okay. I have a little game I want to play. Or do you want to say something first?
I did want to say something. Taylor, there's a little bit of discourse going on about Taylor Swift right now that I did kind of want to address.
Is it the Jet Fuel or the Travis Kelce of it all?
Well, I was just going to say, like, she's always been like a really frontlining public figure. But I did just want to say that, like, there are like valid criticisms about her and the way that she like handles her business. And there's a couple of things like, so, yeah, the her private jet is like kind of problematic. And the fact that she's sent like the cease and desist to the guy that tracks it, even though it's public information. But also like something about like Dear John, how she says, don't you think I was too young to be messed with? Don't you think 19's too young to be played? But then didn't she also have a relationship with like a 17-year-old when she was an adult?
Okay, sorry. Okay, what were you saying again?
Okay, I was just saying that like the whole, I feel like the thesis of the piece Dear John is that she was too young to understand, like everybody was telling her that this relationship with an older guy was dangerous and like for her, and that like she didn't see it herself until afterwards. And she says, don't you think I was too young to be messed with? And she said like 19 was too young to be played or something.
Okay.
But then I read that like she also was in a relationship with like a 17-year-old when she was like 22 or something.
Yeah.
And I just, like, how can you like write a song like this where you're like admitting like I was too young to be in a relationship with another person, but then you turn around and have a relationship with a minor?
We will talk about this a little more in the game, I think.
Okay.
Let's put a T in that because I do want to have a conversation about it. I still think it was wrong to like date a minor, like obviously like statutory rape and like whatever. Like there's a lot of reasons why you like should not date a minor if you are older than 18 or 18.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I have any other main thought. It's if I do, I'll sprinkle them in the remainder of our conversation, but I'm ready for your game.
Okay. Let's just sit and wait the Zoom out before we start the game and then restart the Zoom again.
Okay.
Don't you think I was too young to be messed with? The girl in the dress cried the whole way home. Should've known. And we're back.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Let's jump into my game then.
Okay.
Okay, so as you know, Taylor Swift likes to write songs about real life that reflect her real life. So I've pulled 4 of the songs from this album, and I'm going to ask you who they were about, and I'm going to give you 3 options.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one is The Story of Us. And I'm going to ask you the guy, not like the girl that stole the guy away, but quote unquote stole, but this is for the guy. So the options are...
Wait, so when you say Is this the same person?
Oh, sorry. No, Better Than Revenge was what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay, we're doing Better.
Better Than Revenge.
I was like, oh, is Better Than Revenge the same, like, situation that The Story of Us is about?
No. Okay. Sorry, we're Better Than Revenge. Okay, we've got Jake Gyllenhaal, Justin Bieber, and Joe Jonas.
These were all people I did not... Wait, I knew... No, we talked about him, her having a relationship with Joe Jonas, and he broke up with her over a 20-second phone call, right? Mm-hmm. So I know that that happened. I did not know that the other two happened. Are these people that she definitely has been in a relationship with, or may not have had a relationship with, that you're like making options?
It could be either.
It could be either.
So some of the options that I've made, like for these questions, are relationships that she has written songs about on like different albums. And some of them are just people she never dated. So it's just kind of a mixture.
Okay. Well, I feel like people listening to this are definitely going to be screaming, but based on the things I'm going to say. But I don't know. I don't know her dating history at all, but I really can't see her being with Justin Bieber. So I'm going to X that one out. Process of elimination. And then just because Joe Jonas, I think, was a song from the other album, and like that, like maybe this is like later. So I'm going to go with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nope. It is Joe Jonas.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah, this one was kind of a trick question because there is another, there's songs on the other album about Joe Jonas, but this was kind of like the last of the Joe Jonas era. So the girl that he dated was some actress, like D-list. I think her name was Camilla something, like total nepo baby. She was never in anything like ever big. The irony of it all is that even if Taylor Swift never like blew up in the way that she has like post-pandemic, and she just kind of like fizzled out after Reputation and everything, like this song Better Than Revenge, you know, she still would probably only be known for the things that she does on the mattress. So
what was the piece from Fearless that was about Joe Jonas?
I think there were a couple, but the big one was Forever and Always. At least the big one that I remember.
Okay.
Let me look at the track list. I think there were a lot, kind of a lot, but I don't really remember. Yeah, definitely Forever and Always.
Okay.
Which is another one of my favorites from Taylor Swift.
Okay. I am ready for the next one.
Okay, the next one is The Story of Us. And your options are John Mayer, Harry Styles, and Robert Pattinson.
There's no way that she was with Robert Pattinson. No way. And also, did Harry Styles exist in 2010?
I think One Direction might have been around.
Huh. I'm just trying to think timeline. Speak Now came out in 2010, and I don't feel like One Direction got big till like 2012. So I'm going to eliminate Harry Styles. I don't think he was a big enough deal to be with Taylor Swift yet. I don't think that, what was the other one? Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson, when did Twilight come out? Twilight came out when I was like
2008, right?
Fourth grade. So yeah, around 2008.
Let me look up.
So maybe, but, and then John Mayer, that's who Dear John's about, right? So it's like he is during this time period. So I'm going to go with John Mayer.
Great. Great job.
Yes.
You got it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I am and so good.
Yeah, this was kind of the one that I wanted to bring up Dear John about, because I didn't want to give away, like, I wasn't sure if you remembered that Dear John was about John Mayer. But John Mayer was 33 when he dated her at 19.
What a piece of
so. Yeah, it's a very big age gap. And so, like, while I get the point of like 22 dating a 17-year-old, like that is not right. That's like still only 4 years apart. And this is like a whole generation. Like you are like, you know, if you're like 4 years apart, there's still things that you, well, that's 5 years apart, right?
Yeah.
Which, yeah, like, I mean, I'm not trying to justify like dating a minor when you're in your early 20s, because I think that's like wrong.
Yeah,
all the time. Just,
I do see that like, it's easier to see someone that is 5 years your older or younger as your peer if there wasn't a like childhood like line there.
Right.
Like for example, a 24-year-old and a 29-year-old. Like there's not really an issue there. But when like someone is like still very much a child and someone else is like more of like a young adult, that's where it's like really problematic. But mm-hmm. but you're like basically like power scaling how problematic it is like a 5-year gap with a minor more or less problematic than a 14-year gap with a minor. Like,
right. And she wasn't a minor, you know, I mean, she was 19, but like, I don't think there's like there's a huge difference in maturity from 17 to 19, maybe some life experience, but like that's still like, still like 18 to 20 is like the uh-oh zone for me when like older guys are like dating girls that young. So it's like a much bigger age gap and a lot harder to justify. Not that I'm trying to justify, dating a minor, because I don't think that's okay, but I can see why she saw that in Dear John, but then had a hard time looking at herself in the mirror.
Yeah. It's also just kind of interesting that what am I trying to say? Like, you don't see that very often, that an older woman with a like a teenage boy. It's mm-hmm. almost always the other way around.
Yeah. I mean, like, the only example I can think of is Aaron Taylor Johnson.
What was that with?
His wife is like really old. Not really old, but like a lot older than him. Let me look real quick. Sam Taylor Johnson.
Hmm.
She is 56. He is 33. I think they started dating right when he was 18, like suspiciously close to 18, to his 18th birthday. And she's known him since he was a kid.
Oh, geez.
And I think she was like 41 when they started dating.
Weird. Weird stuff going on.
Yeah. There's a lot of question marks surrounding them for sure. And she definitely does not get a free pass because she's a woman.
Jeez. And I thought that I was playing it risky with our 12-day age difference.
Yeah, you were really robbing the cradle there.
I do like it. There's 12 days every year when we are not the same age. And I definitely like to rub it in your face and be like, Sid, when I was your age, you wouldn't have caught me doing this stuff. Like,
yes, you do. It drives me crazy. And mm-hmm. I think you like that.
But then once you have your birthday and we're the same age, I treat you like a grandma. So,
yeah. All right. Ready for the next one?
Yes.
Okay, next one is Back to December. So okay, we got Josh Hutcherson. Okay.
I was just going to say this song is like vibey, but the lyrics are so confusing to me. I have no idea what this song is about. So I'm going to like try to like do my best to reason through this, but I am not going to do good because I don't even have any idea about what the lyrics mean.
Okay, here are your options. We got Josh Hutcherson, Taylor Lautner, and Dylan Sprouse.
Okay. So this song is about her messing the relationship up. Am I right?
Yes.
So she made the mistake and now she's apologizing for it.
Yes.
And then when she says, like, this is me swallowing my pride, standing in front of you saying, I'm sorry for that night. I go back to December. What does it mean by I go back to December all the time?
I think she's just like the night that she's thinking about happened in December. And so she goes, like, thinks about it all the time. Oh,
so she's replaying it again in her mind.
I'm going back to December thinking about when I messed up and what I could have done to make it right.
Okay.
Just that she, like, regrets, like, screwing up the relationship.
Okay. So I do know that Taylor Lautner was in her past and that they're very cordial friends with each other now. So that makes me think, like, oh, if she, like, messed up the relationship, but then, like, wrote the song saying, like, I'm sorry, and, like, still wants to be friends or, like, something, that it could be Taylor Lautner. Because, like, then didn't she even, like, have him in, like, one of her recent music videos? And
yes,
that she's
the music video for I Can See You, which is a vault track on this album.
Well, if it's a vault track about this album, then would this song be about him? Because it was from that time. So I'm going to go with Taylor Lautner.
Yep.
No way. I'm meta.
I'm going to be honest. Like, your reasoning is very good. Like, some of these, like, the first two questions, it was one person she's, like, it was the right answer. And then another person she's dated from a different album. And then just, like, a complete rando. And you, like, eliminate the rando, like, right out of the gate. And then are, like, reasoning between, like, the other two. And then, you know, you're very good. You're on the right track here.
I'm so good at deductive reasoning. I could be a detective. Maybe I should go into like forensics or something because I like, what are your favorite shows? Like where the
Law and Order, SVU,
Monk,
Psych, Monk.
Where the detectives can just like meta game the crime and
Yeah.
That's why you fell for me, is because I'm always the smartest person in the room.
Not when I'm there.
Yeah, way to put me in my place.
Yeah, so I think the song is interesting because it's one of the few where she's apologetic. And like a lot of times she's just like, screw you, like you wronged me, like I hate you now, this relationship is burning, like whatever. Like that's kind of the tone that she writes about her relationships in most of the time. But this is one of the few times where she's like, it's my fault, I'm so sorry.
Do you know what she did?
No.
Does anybody know what she did? What did you do in December, Taylor? What happened in December? We want to go back to it with you.
Yeah, please write into the pod. Let us know.
Taylor, if you were listening to this episode, I will die. Like, I would simply preemptively expire.
Yeah, anyways. Yeah, so it is kind of interesting. I know when like news came out that they were dating, I was super excited because I was like, if she marries him, it's going to be Taylor Lautner and Taylor Lautner. And it's funny because Taylor Lautner actually did get married like within the last year or two. And his wife's name is Taylor.
I knew that, actually. And they, I saw like he came on a podcast or an interview or something, and they were asking, when you get mail for Taylor Lautner, how do you know which one it's for? And he was like, we don't. Like, like they just open each other's mail because they don't know like which one is for who.
Yeah, that's so funny. All right, last one. You ready?
Yep.
Okay, this is Speak Now. Is it about Connor Kennedy, Liam Hemsworth, or Hayley Williams?
Hayley Williams is a girl, right?
Yeah.
But Speak Now, it says, you're not the kind of boy to be marrying the wrong girl. So I'm going to X out Hayley Williams. Unless she's just like intentionally trying to throw us off with the gender swap. But what were the other two options?
Connor Kennedy and Liam Hemsworth.
Sorry, your audio glitched. Say it again.
Connor Kennedy and Liam Hemsworth.
Okay, well, I have no idea who Connor Kennedy is, which means...
She's a Kennedy. Like, is that American royalty Kennedy. Like, John F. Kennedy family.
I did not know that other than John F. Kennedy, there were Kennedys that were important.
Oh, yeah. I think his brother was a senator, too, Robert Kennedy. And then Robert Kennedy's son, Robert F. Kennedy, he's not a politician, but he is a QAnon quack job that's running for president right now.
Wait, who's the one that's going to resurrect on the grassy knoll and save the sex cult?
Probably Robert Kennedy.
Who, Jr. You know, whatever they believe, that like he's the second coming of Jesus or something, and like we'll split the earth asunder or something at the grassy knoll, and I don't know.
Yeah, Robert Kennedy's a real quack job, so it's probably him. Okay. Like Robert Kennedy Jr., because I think Robert Kennedy was assassinated. But basically, they're like this huge family of politicians, and now they're like the kids. Like Connor Kennedy's one of the family members, and they're just kind of like, you know, like heiresses and like minor celebrities.
Okay. So the fact that I didn't know who that was makes me want to think that that's who the song's about, because I feel like you would be less likely to choose it as a filler throwaway option. But also, that leaves Liam Hemsworth, who I don't know if he was married during that time, because later he was with Miley Cyrus, right?
Right.
And this song is about a guy that you like getting married to the wrong girl, and you know that he regrets it and wants to be with you, so you go crash the wedding and speak now before you forever hold your peace. So I'm gonna go with Connor Kennedy.
Connor Kennedy, final answer?
Yes.
It is not Connor Kennedy.
Oh, what? What is it? Who is it?
It's Hayley Williams.
What the heck?
So
isn't
this
Hayley
was
Williams
kind of,
Paramore?
Yes.
I don't
this
get
is
it.
Kind of this one is a trick question, kind of, because while the song is written about Hayley Williams, she's not the guy that Taylor is pining after. She is actually the girl having to attend her ex's wedding.
Oh, so she's writing about Hayley's experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so Hayley is the protagonist of Speak Now.
Yeah, so Hayley Williams dated a band member for a really long time, and he broke it off with her, and or they broke it off. I don't know who broke up with who, but they split up, and then pretty soon afterwards, he got engaged and married to another girl, and she still had to attend the wedding because he was still in the band, and they had to be cordial and publicity stuff and whatever, but... Yeah, so she was at the wedding, and
bummer.
It's pretty awful. But right around the same time that Taylor released Speak Now, Paramore released Brand New Eyes, and there's a song about Taylor Swift on there.
Oh, no way. That's fun. Yeah,
Brick by Boring Brick.
So
great song.
Did Hayley Williams actually stand up, or is it just she wished she would have?
No, it's just kind of like a, you know, pipe dream kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But she was at the wedding for sure.
Because, yeah, I was actually wondering about this because it's like I lose myself in a daydream where I stand and say. But then, So I'm like, okay, so obviously this is not happening. But then later in the songs, it does say that she like stands up and horrified looks from everyone in the room, all eyes on me, but I'm only looking at you. So I'm like, oh, wait, but then it actually happened. So she was daydreaming that it would happen, but then she actually does do it happen. And then he says, I'm so glad that you stood up and anyway. So
yeah, no, that didn't happen.
But now you got me all
life,
confused because the whole thing is a work of fiction.
Yeah, so that was a trick question kind of, but you did good. What was that, 3 out of 4?
I don't know. I wasn't keeping track. Was I supposed to be?
You can go back and listen and tally it up. But she actually did date Connor Kennedy. So
did she date Justin Bieber?
No.
Okay, did she date Robert Pattinson?
No.
There we go. I just don't get the vibes. Like I can't possibly, and I don't know Taylor that well, and I also don't know Justin Bieber or Robert Pattinson that well, but that's just cognitive dissonance. Like I do not see them together in any capacity. So
right. Yeah, good job.
Thanks.
All right. Any final thoughts on Speak Now?
I don't think so. I think I've said a lot of what I was hoping to say, and I'm just
Whoops. I set down my phone. I was looking at the track list on Spotify, and I set down my phone, and it started playing.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. I'm just looking back to see if there's any like notes, like anything else I want to say about any of the songs. Like Sparks Fly, I think is a bop. Like I love when the chorus feels like you're either building up to like if the chorus itself is building to some sort of like climactic resolution, or if the verse did that and you feel like you're settling into the rhythm with the chorus. I don't know if that makes any sense, but like for Sparks Fly, it definitely feels like you're settling into consonants, like drop everything now. Like it just, it feels like it falls in and you're like, all right, this is where the party is. Like me in the, like, I feel like that just like descending, like falling. I don't know. I can't talk about music as eloquently as your family can, but I really enjoy that. And I don't think we spoke about that piece before.
I also really like the line, give me something that'll haunt me when you're not around. And I think that's a great line.
And then later in the album is a song called Haunted. I don't know if that's supposed to be a connection, but
everything's a connection with Taylor Swift. You know how much she loves Easter eggs.
Enchanted is a song that I don't think we've said anything about.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people say this is her best song on the album.
Really?
I do like it a lot. It's very good. When I saw your face, all I can say is it was enchanting to meet you.
This is one of those ones where I'm like, this is very Indigo Girls kind of feeling for me, where I would not have liked this song 2 years ago. And if I had only listened to the album once, this probably would have been a skip. But because I listened to it a couple more times, it's kind of growing on me. But
yeah, I like this one a lot.
I also like how it's kind of got like a fake out chorus where you think that like where she says, and it was enchanting to meet you. All I can say, I was enchanted to meet you. It feels like it's just a couplet chorus. But then the real chorus comes in. This night is sparkling. Like I kind of like that, how it's like a juke out, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely one that I just like pictured dancing in a pretty dress with a cute guy playing, you know?
Am I the cute guy?
Sometimes.
All right. What about today?
Definitely.
Okay.
Cool. I think absence makes the heart grow fonder. So.
I'm excited to see you when we go on our date on Friday.
Yes. We'll have to do a podcast episode on this.
Okay. I'm down because we're going to have to rearrange our schedule anyway to fit in whatever the heck's happening.
Yeah. No, you're saying, what are we going to fill in? We are going to fill in A Tale of Two Cities. Listen, this is one of my favorite musicals of all time. I'm going to be so upset if you don't like it. The composing is great. The story is great. Everything about it is great. I'm going to be so upset if you don't like it.
Okay, here's my
question. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to talk to you for a while if you don't like it.
I do not know. So I'm nervous because I've told you before, I like to, because it's, if it's a musical, there's going to be so much new music, so much new lyrics to take in. And a lot of like for a musical, the music is what drives the story forward. And if I'm missing out on what this is happening in the story, I'm just going to be confused about what's going on. And that's what makes me worried. And so I don't know if I'll, like the first time I saw Music Man in high school, I didn't know anything going into it. And I came out not knowing what happened. And I was so bored and just kind of like very agitated. And it was not an enjoyable experience. And I was worried that that same thing would happen when we went to see Hadestown, but it was not. And I feel like because just the music of Hadestown was like a very sensory like experience for me. Like I cried like happy tears during the opening number and I didn't stop crying till intermission. Like
no,
it just like
did not.
Was like an
out
of body experience for me. And I feel like because I already was really familiar with Greek mythology and the story of Orpheus and Eurydice, that I wasn't like missing any key pieces of information. But Tale of Two Cities, I don't know the story. I've never read the book. And so like, do you think I should do any preparatory work before Friday? Like, should I listen to like the cast album? Should I try reading the book?
Do not try reading the book. You have a hard time reading as it is. And as much as I love the book, and I have read the book, it is a classic. It is written in the 1800s when they were paid by word. It's very flowery. It's going to be a hard read for you.
Should I watch a YouTube? Like, here's everything you need to spark notes. Like,
maybe. We can hold on after we finish recording the podcast and I can talk to you about it a little bit. But okay. I definitely have some ideas. So
sounds good.
Okay. Well, Josh, I think it's your turn to close out.
Okay. This has been another episode of Thanks for Participating. We've been Josh and Sydney, and once again, thanks for listening. You can find us on Instagram at Josh_is_rich and at DipYourChicken. You can find the podcast on Instagram and TikTok at TFP_pod or on X at TFP_show. You can also support the show by ordering some podcast merch. The link to our TeePublic store is in the show notes. Send any mail to participating.podcast@gmail.com. Please rate and review the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you find an opportunity to rate and review. Our cover art is by Vaishon Brandon. Find him at Vaishon Designs on Instagram. Our music is by Mitch Fry at Firefry_ on Instagram or Mitch Fry Music on YouTube. If Sydney were here, she would say something along the lines of, thanks again, everybody, for listening. It means a lot to us. We hope you've enjoyed the show. And as always, thanks for participating. And then I would retort with something along the lines of, thanks for taking me back to December or something like that. That being said, talk to you next time.